Here's Keith Olbermann, along with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios,
I don't know how excited
Doug
he is.
McClain.
I'm not sure how excited
well,
he is.
Well, he gets all the mentions on the Saturday show. Strombo's tight with him. And now you're on your debut on Hockey Central at noon, the most viewed hockey presentation in North America. Congratulations.
Maybe the world.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I am very excited, especially since I get a chance to defend myself now.
So, yes. So do you want to tell your side of the story?
No. Let Doug go first, okay?
Let Doug go first.
Okay. I turn on the TV one night, Jill and I, just getting ready
What year is this?
I would say it was 97. Just getting ready for bed.
So it's 19 years ago.
Yes, and I've got a long memory, Olbermann. So anyway, I turn on the thing, and all of a sudden, Keith is doing the late night ESPN show, whatever it's called, SportsCenter. And all of a sudden, it's the potty mouth Doug McClain on the bench, dropping these very bad. And he's on there saying, look at this guy. Look at the language. Jill snapped. You're such, and I thought she would be mad at you for portraying me this way, but no, she's mad at me. And all of a sudden, your kids have to go to school. It's not fair to them. You're acting like an idiot. And here's Olbermann on there just slamming me.
She nailed it. She nailed it, Keith.
But my point here is, Doug, this was the only time this happened with you swearing behind the bench?
It was one of the... Well, you had a compilation of a number of games.
Like I said, this was the only time even that happened. This was the only compilation made of your greatest swearing moment.
And correct? And it was the only time I was ever on SportsCenter.
No. One thing we can talk about that's absolutely true is that being 19 years ago, the NHL was on SportsCenter all the time.
Exactly.
Everybody was. Now, did I say something or did we just show it?
No, you said something.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was something about potty mouth Doug McClain. Yeah,
how could he allow his kids to go to school and that sort of stuff? And then Jill reiterated it.
Keith, I don't see you just giving him a pass on that one. I can see you dropping a little comment in there.
Oh, no, he nailed me. He nailed me, yeah.
Yeah, but I've got to say, every time I've ever, and this has been the joy I've had covering hockey since the team I covered was my high school team in 1972. This is literally the second time in my entire history of covering hockey that anybody has complained about anything. You say, I once basically called Mark Messier bald on the air. And the next time I saw him, what I said was his hair was the closest. He was getting an award. He was being handed the President's Trophy or something. I said, here he gets an award for having the closest cropped hair in the NHL. And when I was introduced to him, I'd never met him before. I figure, okay, he's going to kill me with one hand. And instead, he said, he ran his hand through his hair, and he went, close cropped, eh? What it is I'm bald is what it is. Have a beer. And that, as you know, is the universal statement from all hockey people to everybody else, even reporters, is have a beer. So I've had two complaints in my entire life. One was Mike Keenan didn't like me. Oh, boy, that puts me in an exclusive club.
Yes.
And this stuff with you, Doug. And it's, again, my point is, it's 19 years ago, and I had to remember where ESPN was located so long ago. I have no memory of it whatsoever. I'm taking your word for it that it's true. And as I said, I'm sure it was the only time anybody ever caught you on video swearing or anything like that.
Hey, Keith, where do you see coverage with the NHL in the U.S.? And you mentioned that it was pretty good 19 years ago, but has it been peaks and valleys? And in your estimation, where has it gone right? Where has it gone wrong?
Yeah, only since, you know, 1968. I think it's only been peaks and valleys since then. I mean, I used to watch... There used to be a CBS game of the week with Dan Kelly.
Yeah.
And if you want to become a hockey fan as a kid, just listen to the late Dan Kelly and his son. John does such a great job with the Blues, but Dan was like a mega version of John. Mm-hmm. And then there was an NBC game with Tim Ryan and Ted Lindsay. And it was, listen to Ted Lindsay talking, you learn everything that's happened in hockey since 1911. The coverage of the game has been very spotty, and you know, many of the networks here cover it based on whether or not they're also carrying the games. And this was, you know, my last 2 years at ESPN, which ended last summer, I was essentially one of only two or three people who were invested. I would say I would show the NHL highlights. Each game is, you know, different as opposed to the NBA, which is this one long running highlight you could throw in 3 years ago. I wouldn't know the difference.
And
that's probably why I don't have that show anymore. But, you know, that's the way it goes.
And you think about the coverage, talking to Ted Lindsay. Now our coverage is Nick Kiprios teaching Charles Barkley to shoot a puck. Like, seriously, give me a break.
Well, that was entertaining. You know, I don't think that Chuck is in Nick's league in terms of television entertainment.
Not even close.
No, but I, you know, a quick diversion from the interesting stuff to talk, you know, have a little basketball, a cameo appearance from a basketball guy from a struggling league like the NBA. You have to understand my frame of reference. I grew up here in New York, and I went to Cornell. And all I was just surrounded by hockey guys. And the high school team, we had a hockey team, and it was my first aspiration was to be a play-by-play announcer. And I applied for the Pittsburgh Penguins job in 1973 when I was 14 years old. I mean, I was a hockey guy. And coming out of college in this area, early 80s, the NHL was bigger than the NBA, hands down. And there have been several glitches in the growth of the NHL. It hasn't gone backwards in any way in the States, but it hasn't grown the way the other sports have. And that leads to, you know, who's going to bid how much for the TV rights. And that leads to how much coverage does it get in sports newscasts like what ESPN does.
Keith Oberman's with us on Hockey Central at Noon with Millard, Kiprios, and McLean. Did you play?
Very, very badly, and thus very, very briefly. I figured out very early that if I had any skill, it would be talking about it. And I was a decent enough announcer, but I had ankles that were weak both physically and metaphorically. So
Nick tells us that he was your favorite player when he was with the Rangers. So you don't know anything about hockey? Am I correct?
No. Favorite player when he was with the Whalers.
Oh, okay.
My career year.
Yes, your truck. That was your truck.
Brian Burke gave me a truck for being a heavy hitter that year. That was the highlight of my career.
Yeah, that was the year I got to ESPN. You have to understand also, I mean, I know people in hockey are associated often with remote areas, but Bristol, Connecticut,
oh,
where
yeah.
ESPN was located. And I mean, Hartford was Paris.
I couldn't have a beer anywhere in Hartford without running into Steve Levy. Well, I don't think anything's changed in the last 20 years,
except
right?
Barry Melrose is with him.
That's generally the Northeast. You can't run into any place without seeing Steve having a beer, but that's another long story. You don't have time for that. It's also too early in the day to tell that story.
So,
but yeah.
The World Cup of Hockey coming and ESPN getting back involved, is this going to be a real positive? Do you see that changing the landscape?
It could. You never know, because I think the thing that people who, you know, it's not like NBC has buried the game by any stretch of the imagination. That's coverage. It doesn't have the sort of oomph that ESPN has. I mean, you know, we used to lead SportsCenter with ordinary regular season hockey games. And the night you guys won the Cup in 94, Dan Patrick was sent to the Garden to report live from there. I did the highlights, and Dan's fill-in in the studio with me was Mike Tirico, who now does Monday Night Football. So we used to give it big-time props. So whatever happens with the World Cup, it's really hard to say, because I speak to this from absolute prejudice on behalf of the National Hockey League at hockey. I think it is the most entertaining sport per minute played. And the elimination of freezing the puck against the boards is the greatest rule change in the history of sports. We don't have any timeouts anymore. It's not like the NBA where the last 5 minutes take you 6 months. So getting NHL stars onto ESPN again, I think, could have a positive impact. I think if it was every, you know, 3 nights, there was a game, if the contract went back, I think that'd be another story altogether. But it's, you know, it's an uphill climb in a saturated sports market in this country.
Keith Olbermann with us on Hockey Central at noon. Lard, Kiprios, and McLean chatting about the National Hockey League. And who's your favorite team? Rangers?
Yes.
Yeah, he bleeds. He bleeds.
That was not said with enthusiasm.
He and Larry Brooks.
Well, understand. I mean, I come from my mother and her uncle, my great uncle, attended the two home games in the 1940 Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this is a Ranger family that I grew up in, and you know, I saw my first game in the Garden in 1969. And I'm a Rangers guy. My first boss in broadcasting is Sam Rosen. I worked for him in 1979. He's done the Rangers games for 30 years, and I probably interact with Sam one way or the other every two or three days still. I'm a Rangers guy. I had a friend of mine I went to college with, played for them one year. I mean, it was just, I've always been a Rangers guy, and thus I already had, it's very sad to look back as a sports fan and say we had our moment 22 years ago, but there it is.
You know what, Keith? What's kind of sad for us up here is the possibilities of no Canadian teams in the playoffs. In saying that, is that an opportunity for the connection between your average sports person in America to get reacquainted with the NHL? And if there is, what compelling stories do you see? Is it Yager in Florida? Is it the Washington Capitals, who have never won a Stanley Cup? Where do you see maybe some storylines heading if we are looking at an All-American playoff?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a good thing because, frankly, in the areas in which I saw some of the ESPN research before I left on fandom, and hockey fans throughout the United States are as intensely affectionate towards hockey as they are in Canada, and they are as knowledgeable. The problem is in the Northeast, where the NHL is still in many places equal to the NBA, say, in terms of fan popularity, Boston, New York, the rest of the Eastern Corridor, certainly anything going down from Minnesota to St. Louis. Hockey holds its own against all the other sports. In those areas, what do you do to improve it? Well, you can't. You have a huge base, and you have tremendous television ratings. And you know, in Boston, they showed a women's league game, and it got higher ratings than the AHL did on the Bruins network, NESN. So, I mean, those are intense areas. What would you rather see in the areas that have, like, just coming off the All-Star game? Nashville, huge, intense base in terms of people who like hockey, and probably not enough of them. In other words, there's maybe, what, just pick a number out of the air, 200,000 intense hockey fans in the metropolitan Nashville area, and nobody else. And the same thing is like in Tampa, and it used to be this way in L.A. You would have 10,000 people who went 40 times a year. What do you do to grow it? And the irony is that one of the things that's always been a draw in the lesser cities of the American cities in the NHL, Montreal Canadiens, Toronto Maple Leafs, particularly those two, but also all the other Canadian teams, they have a certain aura to them that still counts. I mean, it was, you know, just as it was a thrill in 1969-70, my first season going to games, to see the Canadiens and the Leafs at the Garden, and neither of those teams made the playoffs that year either. It was as much a thrill then as it is to fans now. So I don't know that it's necessarily a positive, and I don't know what sells here domestically. I think, you know, having a lockout the year after the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, when they're literally down the street from all the Madison Avenue ad agencies, was probably a bad bit of planning. But if there's something going on now, I think it might be a thing that might capture people's attention, because we all race like a pack of idiots whenever anything interesting happens in Washington is what the Caps do. And obviously, you know, that team has separated itself pretty much from the rest of the league. I don't know, having seen every one of the games last year with the Rangers, I still don't know how the Rangers beat them in the playoffs last year. And it's
there's a little psychological thing maybe with Washington.
Oh yeah,
with the getting in the Rangers getting in their heads.
Mm-hmm. Well, this year, I mean, obviously we've got a presidential election. I don't know if you heard anything about this. We have a presidential election this year, and the gravity has been turned off. So we have cartoon characters running for president.
Trump.
We have all sorts of interesting people. So Washington, once again, against the will of the average American, we have to pay attention to what's happening in Washington every 4 years. This is the optimum time for the Caps to get a little coverage.
That's right.
Between,
yeah.
But, you know, because you have three Caps games a week and three presidential debates a week. So they sort of alter. You know, they alternate.
Has Trump said that the Canadian teams are not going to be allowed to go to the U.S. to play yet?
They have to get over the wall.
Well, building a wall. I understand it. It's Canada that would be building a wall under those circumstances.
So, is it driving you crazy not to be not to have your show right now during this this political landscape in the United States?
Well, no, because I can sit back and I believe it or not, when I used to do my political show, I actually did show some restraint. I can just sit here and throw things at the television and laugh uncontrollably, and just to punch it up a bit. I happen to live in a Trump apartment building, so every day, 6-7 times a day, I have to walk out through the lobby under the sign with his name on it. So it's just as entertaining. And you know, if I get back into it, which I might, I'll be happy to do it. But I'm not. There are times I look at it and go, I wonder. I love it. Montreal is a great town. I wonder if they let me live here. You know, that's what I'm thinking in this election cycle.
Do you think he can win?
It's hard for me to believe, because statistically, even each time, I mean, people look at the numbers in the polls and how he's done in the first two primaries. Like, oh my goodness! If you back those numbers up, the only people who have expressed an opinion on him, either at the polls or in polling, have been Republicans, and the Republican Party is 40 to 45% of the country, as is the Democratic Party, and in the middle of the independents. So if you boil the numbers down and consider that there are lots of people who are going to vote who have no idea who's running right now, he's really only got about 15 to 20% of the people in this country supporting him at the moment. And I would defy you to find any moment in American history in which 15 to 20% of Americans have not been stark raving crazy. So I don't think there's no reason to assume he's going to do better. But, you know, Americans always, every 20 years or so, have elected a celebrity with no practical political experience. All the military leaders, I mean, Dwight Eisenhower, who had no political background, was elected president. So in a strong sense, the name value could carry him further. I don't think so, but it's
you're scaring us.
Yeah.
If we're scared, imagine what he's feeling.
I'm more afraid of Hillary. She barks at me.
Well, I'm not gonna have a disagreement with you on that, Doug. That's another story altogether.
Yeah. So are you gonna go back to work or what? Are you just enjoying this?
How the hell do you live in the Trump and you don't work? You don't have a job.
Well, I've been overpaid for many, many years, Doug, and I used to get bonuses from ESPN every time I made fun of hockey coaches. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned that.
Oh, you're welcome to come on the show anytime. I know that the guys on Saturday have a lot of fun with you as well, and appreciate your support.
A pleasure, Darren. I watch pretty much every day because I'm in my television role now is viewer. So thank you for doing such good work, and I enjoy it greatly. And
thanks, Keith.
To talk to you. And Doug, after 19 years, I'm sorry. I ruined your reputation as a mild-mannered guy. I'm sorry.
His language only has gotten worse.
Here's the question.
I'm still with Jill.
Doug, he's apologized. No, do you accept his apology?
I totally do. I totally do. I knew he felt bad at the time. I knew it.
Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Keith.
I still feel bad now. Oh, never mind. Okay.
Well, you went 19 years not knowing you'd done it, so you got some making up to do.